Now, for those of you who were here last week, you are absolutely correct. Frank did read exactly the same passage of Scripture to you that was read to you last week. And as I told you then, I tell you again today, we are continuing our discussion of one of the most passages, one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. And as I said at the beginning of last week's sermon, this passage is extremely difficult to understand. But often that which we cannot easily understand is very important. Now, last week, we talked about how the first step in the ritual of cleansing, as described to you in the passage which Frank read to you, is for the priest to go to the person who sought cleansing. And you will remember that I made a big deal about how he had to go to the sinner, to the one who was bearing the marks of sin, the infectious disease. He had to go to him because the guy couldn't come to him. Remember? And I tried to impress upon you the importance of Jesus' words, go and make disciples. He wants us to leave the walls of the room, to leave the safety of the camp, and to go out where the sinners are so that we might touch them with the love of God. Remember that from last week? Got it? This week, I want to talk to you about the stuff that the priest needed to get together to perform the ritual of cleansing. Are you ready? The priest, to do the ritual of cleansing, the priest was to get 2 clean birds, some cedar wood, a piece of scarlet yarn, and some hyssop. Got it? Got it all figured out? Know exactly why I had to go get all those things, don't you? No, you don't. Are you ready? Here we go. I got to tell you, first off, that this stuff must have seemed so strange to the priest. He may have guessed that the birds, which were probably doves, were somehow related to the act of sacrifice because these were birds that were used in sacrifice. However, having studied the book of Leviticus this far, you know that no sacrifice was ever made outside of the camp. No sacrifice was ever offered in any place but before the altar of the Lord in the tabernacle at the center of the camp. The priest must have been going, what? Because even though he was supposed to get 2 clean birds, probably doves, which could be used as sacrificial victims, they were not being used according to the instructions that he had been given. They were being killed in the wrong way and in the wrong place. They were clearly not the ordinary thing that he did with clean birds. He must have been going, and I got to tell you, that he may have had some understanding of what hyssop was, because way back in Exodus 12, Moses told the Jews to use hyssop. Do you even know what hyssop is? A common weed, basically. Okay? They were to get some of this hyssop stuff and dip it in the blood of the lamb and smear the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of their house every Passover. But that's all he knew about hyssop. And those other things? He must have wondered why he's supposed to get that stuff. Because that stuff had no clear meaning for him, and nobody made it clear. And the people who were watching this ritual of cleansing must have been even more confused than the priest was. For if he didn't know what he was doing and why he was doing it, how could they be expected to understand? Why, I bet when they saw this first done, they were thinking, he's lost his mind. Kooky priest, where'd he get that idea? It was all so mysterious. It was all so unusual. It was also disassociated with anything else. Nothing about this was logical to these ancient people. Now, I know when we read the scripture, we think it's just illogical to us. We think somehow they must have known what they were doing because, after all, they did it. And the first thing you got to come to grips with as we deal with this ritual of cleansing is they don't have a clue. They did not know why the priest sent for these things. And the reason they couldn't know was because to understand the significance of the stuff, you have to have the rest of the Bible. Now, are you ready for this? I'm going to explain in a minute how all these things fall out and how the meaning of them is found in the rest of the Bible. But before we can move into that this morning, I mean, you got to understand that there was huge confusion in the minds of the people who were observing this ancient ritual. They were confused because they didn't have any association that brought meaning to the stuff. And what I don't want you to miss before we go on is the lessons in the confusion. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't think you could learn from confusion? Huh. Lesson number one, life is full of stuff. And there is a whole bunch of it that we do not understand. Ever notice? Mm-hmm. Whole bunch of it. Like, for instance, you ready for some? How did God do that virgin birth thing? Mm-hmm. Did you ever wonder about that? Mm-hmm. Want another one? How is it possible for a dead man to live after 3 days in the tomb? Ever wonder about that? How many angels were there in the tomb when the women got there? 1, 2, 3. Did you ever wonder? How about the Holy Spirit stuff? Ever wonder about that? See, there's a whole lot of stuff in life. In fact, there's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible that we do not understand. Okay, can I just do like one more of those? Okay? How many of you think you're going home on, is it Saturday? The 21st of May. That's like a week from away, okay? And there is this huge big scholar who says, we're all going home, the rapture's occurring on that day. You knew that, right? Are you planning on it? Anybody quit their job yet? Going to work this week? Going to Canada? Is it going to happen better there or sooner? Okay. Somebody thinks she's going on an airplane trip, I heard, okay? On vacation, got plans beyond the 21st? Where'd he get the idea? He's uncomfortable with what he cannot understand. So he's got it all figured out in his own mind. Rather than learning in life, there's just a whole bunch of stuff we do not understand. I just want, for the record, if the Lord comes, I'm going home. Okay, but I'm working every day this week. Mm-hmm. Just like I always do. Teach my classes and do my thing. Okay, God comes, he'll find me ready. Okay, I don't need to worry about it. He's got it under control. All right, you got it? You with me? Lesson number two. We need to get comfortable with mystery. There's just stuff that we don't understand. And we're not supposed to understand, like the day and the time of the Lord's arrival. And we need to be comfortable with the mystery. Lesson number three from the confusion. You ready? When God tells you to do it, you do not need to understand it. You just need to do it. We don't like that one. See, we think if God wants something for us, he better tell us why. Because after all, if he's going to work in my life, he needs my approval. He's doing stuff to you you don't know anything about right now this morning. We heard his word read, and he's working a miracle in our minds and our hearts, and we don't even know what it is. And you know what? He may not tell you. Get comfortable with mystery. And when God tells you to do it, don't ask for an explanation. Just do it. So the priest was told to get two birds, some cedar wood, some scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And he did not know why. But the instruction book said, get it. So you know what he did? Got it. Now, you ready? Symbol number one. Ready? Two live, clean birds. Already told you they're most likely doves. Already told you that they were used in making sacrifice. And in the ritual of cleansing, one of the birds would die. The sacrifice required for cleansing. But the other bird would be set free. As the cleansed victim was set free from the disease, as you and I have been set free from our sin, by the grace of God, the victim was healed. By the grace of God, we receive the gift of forgiveness. Not our achievement, nothing we did to get it. It's all by the grace of God. Now, you ready? In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus as a dove. The Holy Spirit is the sign, the mark on us, the seal of God, which tells us beyond doubt that we have received the gift of forgiveness and that we are free. And it comes not because we did something that made us worthy to receive it. It comes to us to assure us of our salvation as the gift of God, received by us through faith in Jesus Christ. You ready? Those birds are the symbol of our sacrifice. For like the first bird died, so God died to save us. And those birds are the symbol of our forgiveness. For through the death of God, by his grace, we have been set free. Don't you love the symbol and the picture? And then symbol number two, cedar wood. Now I gotta tell you, this one is a true mystery. There is no biblical explanation of cedar wood to be found anywhere. You can read through the first verse of Genesis to the last, verse of Revelation and never find any mention of cedar wood. In fact, the only place where wood is of importance is the building of the ark, by which God saved all of creation. The building of the great temple in Jerusalem, where God himself assembled amongst his people. And the cross upon which Jesus died. It is the altar upon which the dove was sacrificed. The cross of Jesus is the place where our sin was forgiven and our freedom was won. That cedar wood is the reminder that by Jesus' death we have been set free. Not because of us, but because of God's grace. And then symbol number three, the scarlet yarn. Again, an absolute mystery to the priest. When the ritual instructions were given to Moses, there had never been before in all of history been any biblical mention of a scarlet yarn, a piece of scarlet thread. Now, it does begin to play afterwards. If you were to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 38, you would read there the story of the birth of Zerah and Perez to Judah. And they were twin boys. When they were born, Zerah stuck his hand out of his mother's womb first. And in order to keep it straight, they tied a scarlet cord around his arm, and then he pulled it back in the womb, and his brother Perez was born before him. And the scripture makes it clear that Perez, the second son to actually appear, was given the birthright of his father Judah, not Zerah, who had the scarlet cord tied to his throat. Now, I want to understand this. It's very difficult to get all these theological things, and I may be here until tomorrow trying to make it clear, but we're going to do it. What Zerah did was try to get it on his own. Okay? He stuck his hand out before his time in an attempt to grasp what he could get rather than depend upon the grace of God. And the scarlet cord, which was tied around his wrist, was ignored, and Perez was given the birthright because of the grace of God. He was, in essence, second born. But he was regarded as first because of the grace of God. And then the second story about the scarlet thread is the story of Joshua's taking the city of Jericho. You remember there was a lady there. Her name was Rahab. She was not a Jewish. She was a spy. She was a turncoat, in essence. She helped the spies who came from Israel to check out the place before they invaded the Promised Land. And she said to them, I believe, I trust your God. I know you're going to be victorious. Help me, because I deserve death and nothing more. And they said to her, if you take a scarlet cord and tie it to the window post, when we see that scarlet cord, we will not harm you. Wasn't what she deserved, folks. In fact, what she deserved is what the other residents of the town got, death. Just like all of us. But what she got was salvation because she trusted God. She had faith in God to deliver it to her. And the scarlet cord throughout all of time has been the remembrance of salvation that came to Rahab by the grace of Almighty God. You ready for this to blow your mind? There was no way the priest could have known about any of those things. No way. And yet God knew. And he told the priest to get that scarlet cord because it is a reminder of how we are saved by the grace of God. And then symbol number 4, hyssop. I told you that it was the plant which Israel was told to use to smear the blood. How were they saved? The blood which never loses its power. By the grace of Almighty God, they are saved, and the hyssop remains the sign of the smeared blood of the Lamb, which saves Israel and which saves us. So the priest is told to be obedient to God by collecting for the ritual all this stuff. And every item he is told to get is a reminder of the way in which God's people are saved. Not because we're good enough. Not because we can do something to get ourselves clean. Oh, no. We are saved by the grace of Almighty God. And he's told, symbol number 5, to bring a clay pot, used in the New Testament as a symbol for our human bodies, our commonness, our worthlessness, the fact that we have nothing of value, for the clay pot is nothing special, and neither am I, and neither are you. There is no way for us to save ourselves. And he is to bring with the pot fresh water, it says. It means running water. It is the symbol of baptism. Do you know that when Christians first started doing baptism, they would never do baptism in standing water? It always had to be water that was flowing. You know why? How else would it wash away your sin? How else would you be cleansed if it wasn't flowing to carry your sin away from you as far as east is from west? Running water, the symbol of baptism, of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus and the grace of Almighty God. And the priest was to use this stuff that he himself did not understand to teach a lesson he could not teach to people who could not possibly understand, because God. So what are the lessons? Get ready. The Bible is one book. All the way back at the beginning, God was telling his people the same story. You cannot get there on your own. All you are is a clay pot. And if you think you have some value in and of yourself that will impress God, think again. You are nothing more than clay. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. But by God's grace, you can be saved. Priest was gathering the stuff to proclaim the great saving power found in the grace of Almighty God. It's one book, folks. Lesson number two, God does not always explain everything to his people. Sometimes he just likes to let us hang there with the mystery. And lesson number three, when it's all put together, it always makes sense. We may not understand it all now, but you remember the words of the old song? Someday he'll make it plain to me. Did you notice? I did this so carefully, and you didn't notice, did you? The songs you sang picked up the symbols. Because the pictures have run all through time and all through history and all through the life of the church. And every now and then somebody's caught the glimpse. There is a river. It's never going to run dry. It's the grace of God. And how do you get it? Through faith. And how do you display your faith? By baptism. The old rugged cross, cedar wood in the clay pot. I couldn't find one for scarlet thread. But there they are. The symbols are there. Because someday God makes it plain. Through his book, he shows us what we need to see. And it all happens by the grace of Almighty God.